Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and Aboriginal people who are listening. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded.
Welcome to the I and Us on Joy 94.9 with your intersex hosts, Paul and Little Jace. A fun, uplifting and informative show about the intersex community by the intersex community for all of us.
And yes, indeed, you have joined us, Paul and Little Jace, on the I in Us, our fifth program. How exciting. We have been on the air for now 5 weeks.
We're the big five.
We are the big five. Yes. And there's two of us, and that's fine. But we, as far as I'm aware, we have like five fingers and toes on each, hand and foot and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'll go. And you know what? I just go with everything that Little Jay says because...
I do try to.
It can be a challenge sometimes, but that's because we're a wonderful pair on the air. And we did acknowledge country a moment ago, which is a really, really important thing for us to do. We really love it. And what we also love is having super duper 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 air guests on our show.
And we've got some brilliant ones today.
And we'll be introducing them in a couple of moments. A very, very exciting pair. Now, I don't know if any of you are out there. Now, I know a lot of our listeners are intersex people, but I know a lot of our listeners are not intersex people. I also know a lot of people have heard of a particular intersex person named Bloom. And if you have, of course, please message in and let us know what you love about Bloom. But what you may not know, that, and I don't want to refer to you as a sidekick, but there is a wonderful passenger on the journey of Bloom's life named Sebastian, who is also in the studio with us, smiling, because guess what? They've never been on the radio before. So this is
crazy way of
introducing them to the world of the airwaves and all that stuff. It is a bit fun, isn't it?
So, absolutely.
You know, it's fantastic. And in a couple of moments, within seconds, to be honest with you, I'm going to introduce them and then bring them in. So I'm just going to let you know, as I'm going to read from their page, that Bloom and Sebastian are the creative minds behind a Mystic Tea Party, an indie alternative rock band with a fresh sound and a powerful message. That's message, not massage, although if you hear their music, you will actually think that it is quite actually, therapeutic. Originally hailing from Poland, Sebastian made the bold move to Australia to pursue his dream of making music. It was there that they crossed paths with songwriter and vocalist Bloom, who is a passionate advocate for intersex representation and a talented musician in their own right. Well, of course they are in their own right, because otherwise we wouldn't have them on the show. So what can I say? Well,
come.
Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sebastian and Bloom, we're so excited to have you here.
It's really great to be here.
Tell us why.
Because it's just incredible what you're doing, and the fact that there is an intersex run organized show on the air by intersex people, about intersex people. It's very powerful. And it's also just, a privilege to be able to be here together with Sebastian talking about our music. So thank you very much.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, we're getting messages in. Fran from Perth.
Yes, Fran.
Was on the show.
Hi, Fran. Yeah.
Just two
Fran.
Weeks ago.
Oh, she was too.
Yes. So thank you, Fran. Like, what does it say? Yay, so excited to hear all about Bloom and Sebastian. I'm just going to throw in the and Sebastian every now and then, you know, just you know.
Somebody, Gwen actually sent a message in, but I'm going to get Bloom to deal with that shortly, but not just yet, because you saw the message, didn't you?
Okay.
I'm liking that message.
Well, you know what? Before we launch into the lives of Bloom and Sebastian, and by the way, Seb, otherwise, you know, but you know, what they're happy to share is what they're happy to share. But it is an interesting thing to hear, as I said earlier, that you've come from Poland, that you've emigrated, what is it, like 6 years ago or something like that?
8 years now.
8 years ago from Poland. And since you've arrived, did you first come to Melbourne? Is that where you first?
Yep, that's right. I arrived to Melbourne. I wanted to travel for a year around Australia, but I just fell in love with the city and people. So me and my friends kind of overstayed, and it's now 8 years.
It's amazing. And it's amazing that coffee can do that to someone, isn't it, really? I mean, you know,
I'm a coffee addict.
As well?
And I didn't drink coffee before.
Well, you might be channeling some past life, like, you know, Brazilian, Colombian, or monkey butt. You know, that's Indonesian or something, that monkey.
I don't know, but it's here.
They put the coffee kernels through the monkey, let's just say, through their digestive system, and then it come out, and then they brew it up, and they apparently taste really, really good. I mean, language warning, it clearly doesn't taste shit, but, you know, that's what they do. So it's a fascinating thing, coffee. And so you've settled in Melbourne. Did you actually go for that trip around, or did you just kind of and then end up back here, or did you just stop and say forget that?
I started working, met a lot of people, and kind of stayed, you know. But it was a, you know, mad trip. The visa situation and stuff like that.
We love people from overseas here. We love to make it as difficult as possible for you to prove that you want to be here.
I didn't know what I'm signing for.
Yeah. did you come on a holiday or a working holiday visa?
Yeah. And there was an opportunity to come to Australia for Polish people. And that was, I think, like the first or second year of work and holiday for Polish people. When I found that out, I was living in London, and my friend Art, that is probably the most adventurous person that I ever met in my life, he's like, do you want to go to Australia? And I said yes. So there you go.
Well, I'm very, very pleased you can. I actually got to visit Poland and Warsaw. In 2018,
nice.
And I had hosted a lot of couch surfers from around the world, including several from Poland, and so blessed to be able to go and stay with them and wander around that amazing city. But let's talk about your music for a moment. So were you already playing music in Poland?
Yes. When I was a teenager, I started playing guitar and producing music, and I was a dreamer, let's say, and there's not many Polish people outside of Poland making it in music, so that was very apparent for me. I knew I had to probably move to one of the English countries.
And you've come to one of the most multicultural cities on earth.
Yeah.
You know, really, we're the melting pot here.
I didn't know much about Australia other than Tame Impala and Silverchair.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. Shout out to Daniel Johnson.
We're going to talk about that later, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe you can. No, I'm only joking. My chair's black. But no, you're absolutely right. So it's fantastic. And we've only got a moment on this subject, but we've got so many more to explore on the show today. But I just want to very quickly ask you how you found your voice as a musician here in Melbourne. We'll continue this conversation in a minute as well. But what was the event that led you to become a musician here?
Well, definitely meeting Bloom was like a turning point. So I've been surrounded by a lot of musicians here, but I just couldn't really meet that person that, you know, would glue with me. And it's hard to find someone to join your band and, you know, really share that musical journey. So I found out that, you know, Bloom is such an amazing singer, we just had to form a band.
That's absolutely wonderful. You are listening to The Eye in Us on Joy 94.9. We've got more of our conversation with Bloom and Sebastian coming up.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
And if you have just joined us, you are with Paul and little Jason, our wonderful guests, Bloom and Sebastian from Mystic Tea Party. We've had some messages in. We have had one from Isaac who said, I saw these guys at the Bergie Band Room the other week. That sounds like you were somewhere. Sass has said, Mystic Tea Party are the bomb. Bloom is absolutely gorgeous. Legend. And Sebastian's pretty much a pretty good legend as well.
Likes to hide in the shadows on the stage, but that's okay. Yeah,
you are our community and we love our community. And because we love our community, there is somebody's special birthday. Bloom, would you like to announce
this? Now, who messaged
this?
That in?
Was that from Gwen?
Gwen, yes. Fantastic. So, thank you, Gwen, for reminding us of
that. Gwen's messaged in and it's Cody's birthday. So we're going to sing a little song.
You are.
I'll lead and you guys better back the vocals.
Yeah. The harmonies will be harmonious.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cody. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my gosh, I slipped into harmonic. Sorry about that.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
happy birthday, yes.
Cody in Canberra, Cody. That's for you. Yes. So, yeah, one of our absolute champions in our community and advocacy, and had a lot to do with the legislation in the ACT, which is the first time any jurisdiction have legislated to protect our kids from unnecessary surgeries and so much other work that Cody's been involved in with our peer support. And that's why we also wanted to make sure that we sent you that wonderful hurrah on your birthday, because we love you so much. So thank you very much for that. And in fact, that kind of brings a little bit, we're talking about, support and connection. The song that we just heard, in case you don't know, is by Mystic Tea Party, and the song is called, what was it called?
I'm Addicted.
And little Jason and I, we spend all these hours preparing shows and think, and we like to assume that we actually know something about why the songs might be called that, or the album covers in this case might be two people embrace. We like to think that Sebastian, who's still on air, by the way, sitting over there, and Bloom must have something to do with them, but no, it's not necessarily the case. So Bloom, perhaps you could unpack the song and the cover for us as well.
So the song I'm Addicted came from a collection of experiences that I've had in my life, basically primarily about like the largest relationship I had when I was younger that was extremely difficult to leave, kind of drawing off the fact that you're in a relationship and you want to leave and it's kind of at its wit's end, but there's something still holding you there. And I guess I had that pattern for a while in my young adult life, and I guess it just needed to come out in a song. So that was kind of therapeutic for me to get it out there. The whole song is about love and needing someone and kind of that toxicity. The album, or the single cover, I should say, is an artwork of two people making love inside of lava.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's definitely abstract, but that's what it is.
And what's fascinating is that you shared with us earlier that that you had used so-called art, AI, artificial intelligence, or something like that. It's your artwork, right? But the whole lava thing, I've got two lava lamps. Like, I'm a hippie for Longback. Mm-hmm. I'm in Longback, a long time ago, not someplace in Thailand and whatever, right? But it's kind of like, I have two lava lamps. I love those things. In fact, Monique, who's currently on a tour, my partner in Vietnam. Hello, Monique, if you and your tour group have somehow managed to listen in tonight. And I hope not, because it means, you haven't, no, I really do hope. And because, it's an incredible thing. And I'm off track because I use my long back joke, which, I've been saying for way too long in my life. But, I love the sensuality of the way that when you turn on lava lamps, it's no wonder, you know, it was so trippy in the 70s, right, on, mm-hmm. on certain substances, right? Mm-hmm. But it still
I don't know
has
what
that effect. I will loan you my lava lamp. So no, what thanks. It has this wax inside, mm-hmm. right, and you turn it on and it heats up. Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
and
then but
it,
I don't know about substances.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's a good – anyway, I'm not going to go there, you know, because, you know, we don't have sort of, you know, language warnings or English on this show, so that's fine. But basically, it just – the way it just kind of lifts up and kind of swirls around and then gets to the top of the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And only those of you who are in the studio right now could possibly think that I was trying to mimic the way that Bloom appears on stage.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I do have some.
I get it now.
Yes. Yeah. That is a good comparison, I would
so
say.
So the word
very
would be
good.
Mesmerizing.
I don't know. I just kind of go where the wind takes
channeling.
Me.
I think you're channeling. I really feel like it appears to me like you go into this exquisite, mystical kind of space of channeling an energy which just says whatever it is that you're conveying, really.
Yeah.
It's not for me to say. It could be, you know, your past experience. It could be the song. But I really just feel you like you own that stage.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you wear the most amazing costumes on this. What do you think, Sebastian, over there? What do you think? What's it like being on stage with Bloom when...
Distracting.
When they start channeling that lovely bean?
Well, at this point, it's very stressful. So I'm just very focused on playing guitar. And then it's over. But no. I think you're on the right track because you usually wear black latex. And we bought a lava lamp that the lava inside is black. So we
really?
Have it in our bedroom. And maybe subconsciously that's what we're
doing. And if you haven't figured it out, Bloom and Sebastian are not only in the band Mystic Tea Party, but they're in a relationship together as well.
Yes.
So they didn't go out and buy two lava lamps, black, and they each have one in each of their bedrooms. Like, it is the same lamp kind
it's
of thing.
It's the same lamp, yeah. Next to the one bed.
And we are definitely looking forward to delving into your relationship.
Wow.
Music,
only to the
collaboration and the formation of Mystic Tea Party. Can you quickly tell us, where did the band name Mystic Tea Party come from?
Oh, yes, of course. So the name comes from a playlist that I made, which was inspired by the movie Zoolander. There is a scene in that movie where they sit down and they have a tea party, and it's all just real cool looking, very sensual, that kind of stuff. And I made a playlist based on that moment. And I told Seb about it one time, and he's like, that would be a great band name. And then we were trying to find the name for our band, and every single name was taken, like 150 other bands with that name. And then we walked past the house one day, and there's this amazing setup out the front. He goes, that looks like where you'd have one of those Mystic Tea Parties. And then
I didn't know you'd walk past my house before.
Oh, well, it was kind of like that vibe. And then he said, wait, maybe that's what we should call the band. Then we looked it up, and there was no Mystic Tea Party anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, that's the name. That's the name. So thank you, Zoolander, and thank you, my brain.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
I'll never be able to watch Zoolander again.
Oh, no.
Not like that anyway.
And you're listening to The Eye in Us with Paul and Little Jace on Joy 94.9.
That's right, Elliot. We are listening to The Eye in Us on Joy 94.9. We do have some more messages coming in. Once again, Cody, you've been happy birthdayed by Dr. Shani,
who was on our show with Shani's husband, Dougie, on our Valentine's Day show.
Absolutely.
Now, just to let you know all out there that, you know, this isn't in something that, you know, when people are on the show, we then kind of wrote, and we wrote, you know, that we basically, now you have to text into our show everything, you know, that it happens quite naturally, you know, so I'm just, you know, it's nice, you know. It's
your movements.
Yes.
They happen quite naturally. And, of course, Max Aurora, who we will be
played, in fact,
hi,
our
Maxie.
Very, very first song.
Hello,
that we played on this show day one on the, I guess it was the 7th of February, was a song by Max Arora. And I think, Max, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you possibly know more than me, but May the 27th, or thereabouts, it's a Wednesday, obviously, is when Max is going to be on the show, and we're so looking forward to hearing. And I did actually see, Max, that you dropped another new song on your socials. So if you look up Max Arora on their socials, you may well see a wonderful new song, a little video of Max playing the keyboard, as Max often does. And it's very exciting that Max will be joining us in the studio in late May as well.
And they definitely have affirmed the fact that Bloom and Seb are the most lovely humans. Thanks, Paul and Jace, for hosting this mint show. A mint show.
Where's the minties? Oh, yeah. I don't like minties.
I value my teeth way too much for that.
Exactly. I actually rang that company and because I thought I'd found a big silver piece of metal in my minty, and I was hoping that they'd give me a year's supply of minties. But then it was only when I cleaned my teeth that night that I thought, oh, that's not quite true. I'm now missing a filling.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
So that was the end of my minty enjoyment.
The great
life,
thing of pulling those amalgam fillings out is that they put the other ones in, and so your teeth are lovely and
white. Oh, gosh, that's
white.
So good. So I could actually save the money on the cost of having them pull them out and then just eat minties and then go in and say, hey, can you – actually, I'm going to be in Bangkok next next week, and so maybe that's also another part of my financial strategy to go and see a dentist in Bangkok and hope that I actually come back with a mouthful of teeth. But anyway, we digress. So where are we up to, little Jace? Well, actually, this is a point where I was wanting, because it's really important as well. Often what we talk, when we talk about intersex and intersex lives and intersex journeys and things like that, it can be very triggering for members of the intersex community. It can also be very triggering for people who aren't intersex as well. I hate the term. If you're not intersex, you're endosex. But don't worry, don't feel you need to hang on to that term.
But I never even knew that term.
Well, our first show, you hadn't heard of chromodiversity either. And, you know, people with our variations are chromodiverse. So, you know, there you go. I feel like it's the chromodiverse university around the neurodiversity. So, Bloom, where did that channel come in from? You found out that you are intersex, or things started to happen in your life at the age of 16 that later led to you to learn that you're intersex. Am I on the right track there?
Yes. I pretty much found out that I was intersex pretty much at the same time that I found out, maybe a couple weeks later. So obviously I was not really going through puberty or anything like this. And then I went to the doctor for an unrelated reason and then said, by the way, not going through puberty. And they said, oh, we'll check that out, see if anything's going on. And then I didn't think anything was going to happen, because I thought I was just going to be a late bloomer, as I always say. A late bloomer, and I was.
By the way, if you're looking for Bloom on the socials, it's B-L-U-M, not B-L-O-O-M.
Yes, B-L-U-M-E. B-L-U-M-E.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, sorry.
And then they told me, they sat me down, and so I guess they told me that I was intersex, but I didn't really process that, because the only thing I processed that day was I would never be able to have children. And then I was like, okay, I can't really listen to anything else that you're saying. And then it was actually my brother and my dad who sat me down and told me what intersex means, and said, there's another part of the thing that you were told that we need to kind of explain to you. So then I found out about that, and then I kind of didn't really want to think about it for a few years and tried to not think about it. And then as I grew older, I kind of, you know, really more delved into that and wanted to learn about it, and kind of just accepted and celebrated that that was part of who I am.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's like we are born intersex, but we often don't learn that we're intersex. So I'm 58, and I heard the word intersex for the first time like 7 years ago or something. I often said eight just to round it up, but it was 7 years ago. It's not unusual for us to not know we're intersex, but it doesn't mean we're not experiencing being intersex. Were there any things in your younger years that you would like to share that now you know that you're intersex and what your variation is? Were there any potential signposts?
Definitely not for me. I know for some people there was, but for me, I did not suspect anything. I mean, obviously, the feeling a little bit different, like I'm not developing the same as my friends. And like, I guess, yeah, everyone else seems ahead of me, but I just was refusing to believe that there could be anything happening that was anything different. I was like, I really just did not think anything was different about me.
Well, that's a wonderful thing, I got to say.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, there are a lot of intersex people that do not know why they're experiencing their things,
yeah,
you know, physiologically or cognitively or, I suppose, reproductively, you know, yeah, have no reason for it, but they notice something and yeah, can experience a lot of trauma. So I'm actually pleased for you that it yeah didn't impact you until you were at an age and level of maturity. Granted, what you said, a few years after you found out, what you had those few years to kind of digest what had been shared with you.
Yeah.
And what I can see of you now when, you know, see you through social media or, you know, in person as friends and things like that, is you've not only like accepted and understand yourself as an intersex person, but you embrace it.
Absolutely. Like, to the full. Of course. Yeah. I mean, not of course, but like I definitely do. And even though when I was younger, really young, I didn't have any signs, it doesn't mean that I didn't have, you know, a lot of trauma surrounding the, acceptance and diagnosis and everything. Diagnosis, I say in quotations. Well, the finding out about it and then accepting it, and then, you know, other people at school finding out about it and not understanding, and, you know, there was a lot of other stuff that I still, you know, got to experience. But, you know, as far as some, I do consider that I had a pretty good journey and a great, great support system at home.
Well, that is fantastic. We're about to hear another of your songs, Aftertaste, and I'm looking forward to hearing that and then, yeah, learning more from both of you about your journey into music and so much else. So here we have Mystic Tea Party with Aftertaste.
You are listening to The Eye in Us with Paul and Little Jace, and that song certainly left a wonderful taste in our ears. Bloom or Sebastian, actually, can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration for that song? It's a great song. I don't want to go into the lyrics because I love the lyrics.
Yeah, I guess the lyrics, lyrically, I'll talk about the lyrics, so I can talk about the music, but the lyrics are pretty much just a love letter to, again, something that you don't really want to let go of, something that felt great but was bad for you. And
oh, I know that too well.
You're just left with that taste in your mouth and you're trying to savor it.
Sometimes that taste isn't always good, though.
Oh, sometimes
not.
Oh,
you know, sometimes it's wonderful. I grew up with a dad who used to eat grapefruit. You know, that was a thing. And then, you know, it was like, oh, I love grapefruit. But guess what? They put sugar all over it, right? Because there's a sourness or a bitterness to certain things. But it's almost like, you know, what is it called? Dare I say it? For the song coming up later on, Lick, Sick, Suck, you know, kind of thing. You're right. You take what would potentially leave a not-so-pleasant taste in your mouth, but then you kind of shift it around a little, add little bits of other elements, and then it's something you savour as a result. So I think there's, you know, there are certain words in our vocabulary, you know, our vernacular, where it's assumed that if there's an aftertaste, it's a bad thing.
They do say, well, in every relationship that it may end sometimes on a bad note, but you always learn something from a relationship, and that's always a positive that you can take from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's good aftertaste as well.
Yeah.
You probably just overanalyzed yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's open for interpretation. Yeah, but I definitely wrote it, I think, as a pleasant, you know, might not have been good at the time, but it's nice to have the memories.
And how does it, Sebastian, how does it run with you and being part of Mystic Tea Party and you being part of the aftertaste?
For me, I usually have the words and maybe some little guitar, maybe chords or something like that, delivered to me by Bloom. And they, you know, sometimes a finished product, sometimes it's maybe something very like a small idea. And then I have to kind of come up with where the song will take us next, you know, even what genre it might be. So in this case, I really wanted to create a song that will have big strings and some wailing guitars at the end. So I kind of combined the both. And yeah, it was pretty much just one day. We created the song in one day. And I think the quickest song we ever done. Mm-hmm. But I think...
I actually love... What I love about that, I remember hearing a few years ago, like Kiss, the band, right? Rock and roll, you know. And then Paul Stanley was challenged to write a kind of cross between a disco and a love song kind of thing. And I think it was pretty much in one day. And then this hit, I was made for loving you, baby. And
who sings like, that song?
So, well, it's Kiss.
Yes. Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying, but you wouldn't expect it to come out of their, you know, their repertoire. Mm-hmm. But this is the thing. I think when you write quickly, do you have that experience as well, that it's actually, I mean, it's an organism that is... But wanting to burst out of you or something like that?
It depends how in the flow you are, because sometimes it just goes whoosh, comes out. Which
it's
like
sometimes just a matter of like, I wish it was always the case, because some other songs, they take us months and it's a painful process. But this one was just like, boom, it just happened. And then you actually, as a person that created the song, are able to enjoy it way more because you're not tired of it yet. So in this case, I think this is actually our favorite song of Mystic Tea Party.
Definitely.
So that then almost brings us up to the, are we allowed to talk about it yet?
Well, you're going to have to kind of give us a few hints of where you're going here, little Jay. Oh, you're talking about the song that we...
I want to get into a sticky situation.
Okay. Actually, I think it's important to say, too, so we're playing three of your songs tonight, including the newest one.
Yes.
Honey. And what did we call our run sheet yesterday on Monday?
Oh, look.
I got you, honey, or something like, I don't know, but we named our run sheet after. Honey. Yeah, after this song.
Beautiful. And, speaking of honey, can I just say quickly, there is a lovely person in Byron Bay that just sent a message, and he is quite a honey. I actually met him through Joy, and it's Brettley, and he says, "Hi, Paul and little Jay's loving your show, and love that beautiful." Is that love? As in lover. I love, I love, I love you. That beautiful song.
You got three love
aftertaste.
Hearts from Brettley.
Oh, yeah. I love Brettley. He's such a sweetheart. But anyway, I digress.
It's really important. And I love, thank you everyone for messaging in and offering your support. And, you know, this is our fifth week and, you know, we've got, 92 people following us on Insta or whatever. You know, like this is support. It's from all over the world, actually.
What is our Instagram, just very quickly?
Well, the INUS.
The INUS,
without any spaces, yeah. And also just say before we, you know, do launch into that, you know, talking about the wonderful song, Honey, that we'll be playing in approximately, quite a while, actually, 6 minutes or so, that you do have other songs that you're working on, that you're playing with, that, you know, we don't have to, depending on Sebastian, whether or not it's a one-nighter or, you know, a six-week bake of the cake of your songs, you know, I'm hoping it's not too long before, you know, we get to hear about them, but we'll certainly have you back in the studio at some point in time to talk about, you know, the next iteration of creativity and all that sort of stuff.
We promise to release a lot more songs this year.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I'm gonna love that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We'll get it out there, yeah.
Paul, can I read you some amazing, wonderful lyrics?
You can.
I'm going to.
Is this from the next song we're about to play?
Absolutely.
From the
new? Oh, great, thank you. This is totally relatable this time. Listen to these lyrics. Undecided whether you deserve to have your cake and eat it too, but electric currents running through my legs and to my brain say, eat till you're full. These feelings are consuming me, but I can't wait for you to dip into honey. Oh my God, these lyrics, they're amazing, they're tantalizing, and they're... I wish I had a Joy 94.9 fan right now. You need to tell me about this. Okay, what's the inspiration for these lyrics? Why were they inspired? And how did you manage to make somebody like me turn red?
Well, I guess, this song came to me. I didn't know I was going to write about this. This is the case with most of my songs. I never go in saying I'm going to write a song about this, but it's whatever needs to come out of me, kind of like therapy, whatever comes out. And I guess these lyrics are about, well, I say it's a nod to the complexities of human desire and different things that you might be interested in or want to try that you have feelings of shame or guilt or something, and things that you might be internalizing, feeling too shy to express. And I kind of wanted to write a song for everybody out there about human desire and just to let people know it's okay to be into what you're into. And I just wanted people to be able to sing this song and be like, yes.
It is that. Like, I get that real sense from what you're saying and from the song as well, that it is about free abandon. And that free abandon is not being bound by social
norms
or expectations. We're in an age, it's almost like we're back in the 60s and 70s in a way. I mean, you know, sexuality and expression and gender and so many things have space, place to play and to be themselves. But at the same time, and what I feel that you were saying that a little bit as well, Bloom, just then, that you're acknowledging that for a lot of people, that just does not come easy. They're bound by their upbringing, their religion, or their own kind of limitations that they place on themselves, perhaps, around the their own sexuality or just self-expression as a whole.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, and even if you're not looking at this song from a, like, kinky or fetishy type way, which it doesn't necessarily have to be, it could be something as simple as like wanting to be with someone and, you know, not being brave enough to go and try it, or feeling you know,
it could also be you're walking down the supermarket aisle and some big jar of honey just happens to fall over and spread all over you, and it's just like, you know,
clean up in aisle three.
Clean up in aisle three.
And there's the whole idea of being sensual with yourself as well, and because that's all I get to do these days. Anyway, that's not the point.
Little Jay.
Just play me a song on your violin. Anyway, enough of that. The song is sensual. It's beautiful. And it even tells me it's okay to love yourself as much as you want to and not be ashamed of that.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love everybody's interpretation of it. And like I said, like, every song is open to interpretation, whatever you would like to take from it. But yes, lyrically, I guess this song is a very sensual song wrapped in a non-sensual song. I guess musically, I wouldn't say musically it's that sensual, but
think about certain dancers in certain environments and so forth, where what they do on stage, you know, is an interpretation of the background music that's playing behind, sort of thing, isn't it, so often? And so, as you were saying, you're loving everyone's interpretation of the song.
Yeah.
And so, in a moment, we will hear it, which is wonderful. Yeah. Do we have to? What do you think? Here we go.
I'm desperate
to hear this. You're desperate to hear it? All right, everyone. This song has just dropped. So drop into your heart space. And listen out for Honey.
And you are on the Iron Us with Paul and Little Jace. And look, I was going to say something, but we have a message in. It says, Honey does it for me every time. Love this track. Thanks so much for making it and being truly authentic. It is so refreshing. I couldn't say it any other way. Can you tell us a little bit more about your inspiration? Oh, Sebastian, can you tell me a little bit about your inspiration on this one?
Yeah, of course. So initially, the song started kind of like a love poem to The Cure. So yes, one of my favorite bands, and I wanted to make it really atmospheric and melancholic, and the demo kind of sounds like this. But then we went to see Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction last year, and I just wanted to have it a little bit more grungy and energetic, you know, with a bit of a claw. So, you know, that's what it ended up being.
And self-described as head out of the sunroof, dream pop anthem infused with 90s grunge. This has been a fabulous evening.
It's been such a gorgeous show.
We need
a
longer show, Paul.
So sad that we need to go. We do need it. And who knows? You know, we keep going the way we're going. I just reckon, you know, there's all this scope for us to have a longer show. But in the meantime, we do what we can with what we have. Thank you so much, Bloom and Sebastian, for coming into the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my gosh, it's been absolutely wonderful.
And you can find them on Bloom Kind on wherever you find your podcast.
Yes. Now we haven't talked about the podcast yet, but please go there, listen, and it's absolutely fantastic. We do need to bring the show to a close now, but do go to wherever you get your podcasts and, you know, put in Bloom or Bloom Kind, and you'll see the wonderful work that so many of us are so pleased about Bloom putting out there about themselves as an intersex person and us as intersex people and all of you, not only the intersex listeners tonight, but also every single one of you. So thank you for the work that you do in our community and support and so forth. It's absolutely fantastic. Next week on the Eye and Us, we have an interview with Morgan Carpenter, who is indeed the Executive Director of Intersex Human Rights Australia. So that's another wonderful conversation with Morgan, all about intersex advocacy in Australia in the last few decades and so forth. So we'll be learning a lot more about the community and some of the challenges and possibly even some of the highlights. And in fact, we'll also get to hear some of Morgan's favourite songs, a group called The Presets to start that show.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Right.
I know The Presets. Yeah. They're really quite good. Thank you for coming along, Bloom and Sebastian. It has been wonderful. And if you get a chance, have a look on our socials and see how wonderful they look. I mean, it's not all about looks, but if you'd seen Bloom dancing during the show, you would have known exactly what a lava lamp looks like.
Absolutely wonderful segue in. So thank you, even though we're going out. So thank you once again. Thank you, Little Jay. It's been a wonderful show.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of you for listening in, for messaging in, and for being part of the wonderful community of the Eye in Us.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.